Very good. Thank you, Mrs. Ayers, and thank you, Brother and Mrs. Jones, for your presentation tonight, giving us a burden for the country of Guatemala. You know, just prior to me surrendering to God's call to preach and eventually pastor someday, every time a missionary would come through, my wife would sit down here after God called us into ministry, and a missionary would come through, and we would think, boy, you know what, maybe that's where God wants us to go. Then the next missionary would come, and we'd say, well, maybe that's where God wants us to go. And my wife and I seriously considered and just kind of laid everything out there for God. If he wanted us to go to the mission field, we were willing to do whatever. And I was heavily leaning toward that until God changed directions a little bit later on. But every time a missionary comes through, I always enjoy their presentation and their burden for their field. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, Acts chapter 13. Last Wednesday night, it was budget meeting night, so I just decided to keep the message along the same subject. Well, tonight was our missionary brother, Mrs. Jones, reporting, so I'm just going to keep the message along that line tonight. Keep everybody's mind in the same mind frame. Acts chapter 13, if you would, stand with me. We're going to read the first three verses of Acts chapter number 13. Right. The scripture says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, the church, sent them away. Now I want to take these first three verses of Acts chapter 13 tonight, and we have just a few moments this evening, but I want to talk to you about God's challenge to the church. God's challenge to the church. Now, Father, we're grateful to be alive. We're grateful to be in church. We pray that as we look into the Scriptures tonight, Holy Ghost of God, do your work, teach, guide, lead, as you promised that you would. Stir hearts, we ask tonight, for it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. God's given us a great challenge, church, as the people of Trinity Baptist Church and, may I say, a local New Testament church. God has given us a challenge, and that challenge and command to us was, if you read Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the scripture says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want you to notice several things about that verse. First of all, God says, go ye. Now, let me say this to you. Not only is the challenge and commission given to the church collectively, it's given to us individually. To not only just to go in our area, but to literally go all over the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it says, go ye, and then it says, into all the world. Now, folks, that doesn't mean all excluding Afghanistan. That doesn't mean all excluding Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia or any of these other countries. It said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, Matthew chapter 28, we have the same challenge and commission and command given to us. There, once again, Jesus says, go ye therefore, individually, collectively as a church, individually as a Christian, and then he says, and teach all nations. There it is again. Not only are we to go into all the world, but we're to teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he's the Savior of the world, and he'll save them in spite of themselves. So we go and teach them that Christ is the Savior. But you know what? We also got to teach them the Bible. And then just prior to Jesus' ascension, he just thought, well, I've said it several times before. I'll just say it one more time before I ascend back to heaven. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. Now, he tells us where to be witnesses, we understand, locally. And then he concludes his statement by saying, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So on three different occasions I've given you tonight, church, where Jesus Christ himself told us, go ye. Church, individually, go ye, not just to your local area, but go ye into all the world. And teach all nations. And to the uttermost part of the earth. Now I think without question, this command is directed to the church as a whole and to us as individual members of the church. Now I don't mean to bore you with statistics, but I'm going to read you some. All right? I'm going to give you some idea of where we are in this thing of going ye into all the world. It is estimated that the global population now is approaching 7 billion people. There is 238 known countries in the world today, and numbers say that 67% of the world is unevangelized. That means only one-third of the world's population is even being evangelized. Now let me go and say this. This survey that was taken among all Christians says that Christians give approximately $270 billion a year to Christian causes, with only $15 billion of that making it to foreign missions. Let me say that again. Let that sink in just a moment. $270 billion given, $15 billion make it to foreign missions. That means $255 billion stays here. You say, what are we doing with all that money? We're building our little kingdoms, our little earthly kingdoms, and letting 67% of the world die and go to hell. Now, let me say something to you folks. I'm not against building buildings and making sure that the home church is strong. But when you're only sending $15 billion out of $270 billion to the mission field, something's bad wrong about that. Something's backwards about that. Let me say also to you this. The country that the fastest Christian expansion is taking place in, an estimated 10,000 converts a day, is China. 10,000 converts a day. Now listen carefully. 40% of the church's entire global foreign mission resources are deployed to just 10 countries. 40% of the monies are flooding into 10 countries. You say, what are those countries? Well, let me give you five of those countries, okay? Where the majority of the missions money of America is flowing into. Those countries are, number one, Brazil. Number two, Mexico. Number three, England. Number four, the Philippines. And number five, Canada. That's where most of the mission monies are flowing into, is 10 countries, with those five taking the majority of that 40% of the income. Now, this survey here that was taken, they surveyed 23 different mission boards across the country where they got their numbers. They say that there are 72 countries without one Baptist missionary. Not one. 72 countries, not one Baptist missionary in them. 30 percent of all fundamental Baptist missionaries are located in five countries. 30% in five countries. So what are you saying, Brother Todd? I'm saying we need to spread out. Hmm? We need to spread out a little bit. You say, well, where do we need to go? Well, there's 72 countries, ain't got nobody there. You'd have the whole country all to yourself. And listen, that means anything you mess up, it'd be your fault, right? Can't blame it on anybody else. But you say, Brother Todd, some of those countries are closed. Yeah, and some people still getting in. Yeah, you can get in. Say, but it might cost me my life. There's where the problem is starting to happen right there. Now let me say this. Since 1950, this survey says since 1950 we've lost 1,000 missionaries per year. Only 50 take their place. Today there are approximately 29,000 Baptist missionaries worldwide, with only about 5,000 of those being independent Baptist missionaries. 43% of the missionaries never complete deputation. And here's something staggering, Brother Sam. We were talking about yesterday about why most of the Bible colleges in America are down in attendance by large numbers. Listen to this. Less than 1% of Bible college students in college today, less than 1% even consider the mission field. Less than 1%. You say, well, then what are they considering? Well, I guess they're considering either going to start a church or go work on a church staff, and I'm not against any of that. But folks, if we got 67% of the world dying and going to hell, you know what I'm talking about? I'm saying that when Jesus gave the challenge to go into all the world and teach all nations and go to the uttermost part of the earth, we're way behind. We're well behind the time. I was looking at this. I printed off from this survey, this independent Baptist mission agency that printed off these numbers. They printed all the countries of the world, how many missionaries there are in each country. I told you there were 72 that had no one. There are a number of them that have one. And I got down here, Brother Sam, to Croatia. You know what it says? Number of independent Baptist missionaries? One. One. One missionary. The independent Baptist missionary in the whole country. Looking down here, Liberia, according to this, one. Brother Kosia, Congo, zero. Independent Baptist missionaries. Now, folks, all I'm saying to you tonight, I'm not going to read any more of these numbers, but all I'm saying to you tonight is simply this. Jesus Christ gave us a challenge. And the bottom line is this. These statistics, this agency said that since AD 33, there has been approximately 37 billion people born on planet Earth since AD 33. And if only one-third are being reached for Christ, then that means over 24 billion people have died and gone to hell in less than 2,000 years. Now, folks, there's more to human history than just 2,000 years. That's just since AD 33 that these numbers were estimated. 24 billion people. You say, okay, what do we got to do about it? Well, I want to take a look for just the few moments that we have tonight from Acts chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3, and look at God's divine plan, or may I say God's M.O. Okay, here's His mode of operation. You find it in these three verses right here. Now, can I say to you that God has a place, God has a people, and God's looking for a person. That's basically what it boils down to. He's got a place, and in that place, He's got people. But those people need a person. They need someone to bring the truth to them. You say, okay, where will God look for people to serve? It's right there in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch. You know where God's going to find servants to serve on foreign fields? You know where God's looking for people that will go out from the local New Testament church that are willing to go somewhere around the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? He's not going to find them in the movie theaters. He's not going to find them at the Cowboys stadium. He's not going to find them walking the streets. The scripture said, you know where he found Barnabas and Saul? In church. That's where he found them. That's where he's looking. Guess what God's doing at Trinity Baptist Church tonight? He's surveying the church. He's looking tonight among the people of God that are sitting in the pews of Trinity Baptist Church. You say, ah, Brother Todd, what's he looking for? Well, he's looking for people that are busy inside the church. Hey, he's not going to call out somebody that's not busy. He's not going to call out somebody and trust them to take the gospel to a foreign field somewhere if they're not even busy in their own church. He's not going to call out people like that. You say, well, what was Barnabas and Saul doing in the church? Well, according to this right here, says they were in the church of Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. As Barnabas, Simeon, he goes on and finds there Saul. And then verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord. You know what they were doing? They were busy. They were busy in the church. They were teaching in the church. They were ministering in the church. See, God's looking for people that are busy in the church. Say, boy, well, I know what I have to do now not to get called. I just won't get busy. You know, that's a terrible way to look at it, isn't it? That's an awful way to look at the work of the living God. See, he's looking for people that are busy. God will look for those who have a walk with God inside the church. So he's looking for people that are busy in the church. And then he's looking for people that had a walk with God in the church. You say, well, how do we know that these guys had a walk with God? Look at verse 2, as they ministered the Lord and fasted. You know, I don't know too many people that fast that don't have a walk with God. That's just kind of not part of their daily lifestyle. Fasting is a spiritual thing. Prayer is a spiritual thing. And so Barnabas and Saul, you know where God found them? In the church. You know what they were doing in the church? They were busy in the church. And so God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to promote you in the work of God. I'm going to promote you from being a teacher and minister in the church to being a teacher and minister and missionary for me outside the church. But he found them in the church. They were busy. They had a walk with God. You see, God's watching you and me. What's he watching for? He's watching our business. He's watching what we're doing. He knows our heart. He knows our burden. He sees our compassion for souls. You see, God also has given everybody in this room abilities and talents that he has equipped you with, and he's watching how you're using them in the church. And if you'll use them in the church, then you know what? You just might be a candidate for God to call you to use them outside the church. You see, when God calls out a person out of the church, he's not demoting you. He is promoting you to a higher calling. You see, God's looking for faithfulness in every area of our life. He's looking for those who are not easily offended. Let me say that again. He's looking for those who are not easily offended. Because let me tell you something. You get to the mission field, you better not wear your feelings on your sleeves or a chip on your shoulder, because I promise you, somebody will knock it off. Can't be easily offended. Can't be small in faith. Now, what am I saying tonight, church? I'm just saying God's surveying our church tonight. He's just looking around from heaven. You know what he's looking for? People that are busy. people that are faithful, people that can be counted on, people that are winning souls, teaching, ministering. So where's God going to get the people to go to this place where the people are, and he's looking for a person? He's going to get them inside the church. That's where he's going to, find those that he's going to call out. Now let me say to you, number two, what's required for people to serve? What does God require? Who's he looking for? Where's he going to find them? According to Scripture, it's where he found Barnabas and Saul. Found them in the church, ministering, teaching. So, okay, what's required then of a person that's going to serve? Look at verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, circle this word, separate. Separate. What's a scary word to most of us, isn't it? Because you know what that word means? That word means sever. Come apart. And boy, we've got our little place in our pew. We've got that thing nestled out and it feels good. But you know what he's saying? If you're going to be called out, you're going to have to separate. You're going to have to leave that nice little nestled place in the pew where you come every service like I do and nest up for Sunday. You see, we're going to have, there's some people that God's looking for that's willing to sever and to separate, to come apart. Hold your place there if you would quickly and turn with me to Luke 14. I want to show you something Jesus taught his disciples. Luke 14. Okay, Luke 14, verse 25. And there were great multitudes with him, speaking of Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look down at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for people in the church who will separate. Who will separate. People who will separate from self. To take our pride and check it out. So that when we come to church, our spirit is open to whatever God's will for our life may be. You see, he's looking for people to separate from self, who's willing to come out of their comfort zone, who's willing to come out from among the average, who's willing to excel for the cause of Christ. You see, in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, did he not say, and yea, your own life also? He said, I've got to have people. If we're going to reach these 72 countries that have no Baptist missionary, 72. He said, I'm going to find that person in the church, and I'm going to find a person willing to separate, willing to sever, willing to come apart. He's looking for people that will separate from self. Next, he's looking for people who are willing to separate from stuff. Do you know in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus was very plain that if you're going to be my disciple, you have to forsake all that he hath. We don't like that. Because we love our possessions. We love our stuff. Right? But Jesus said, boy, you know what? Then you can't be my disciple if you're in love with stuff more than you are with the Savior. Or if you're more in love with self than you are with the Savior. Did not Jesus teach his disciples in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, that they were to lay up treasures where? Not on earth, but in heaven. You see, folks, finding a place to serve, surrendering to what God's will may be for you and your family and your life to go reach a lost and dying world where 67% are lost without God. He's looking for people to separate from self, people to separate from their stuff. And then he's looking for people who will separate from security. You see, family provides security. I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to young people that have surrendered to some type of ministry and got talked out of it by family. You see, family provides security. Friends provide security. Because, see, the thing about it is many times people surrender to go to a foreign field, to a mission field, and their friends rationalize them out of it. Don't you understand we're in a recession? Isn't it amazing? I don't think God's in a recession. Last time I read my Bible, which was today, he said that he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And that all that was created by him and for him. I don't think he's in a recession. Well, ain't nobody got no money. Is that right? Have you ever gone by down Cooper Street on Friday night and looked how many people are at restaurants? You ever drive by Six Flags in the summer? I'm just saying, people got money. There's a dying world. 67% know not Jesus Christ. But bless God, I'm riding the Titan. I'm going to do that before I do anything. You see, family provides security. Friends provide security. May I say, finances provide security. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Brother Sam, how many young men have we had come through in all the years that they start Bible college and all of a sudden they get involved in a job and all of a sudden the job looks more enticing than Bible college does? You know why? Because they get a few dollars in their pocket. And all of a sudden the calling of God is no longer important. Now the money is. Because now they got enough money to buy a new car, which they never had before. Now they got money to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that. And they've let their call go by the wayside. I'm just saying to you, God's looking for people who will separate from self, stuff, and security. Let me give you the last one. The last one is this. Then who's going to accept the challenge? Who at Trinity Baptist Church is going to accept the challenge of God Almighty? All nations, uttermost parts, ye. Is that not what Jesus said? Ye. He's looking for ye in the church. He's looking for people in the church that are willing to separate. Now the question is, who will accept the challenge? Look at verse number 4, if you would, Acts chapter 13. After Barnabas and Saul were separated, the church had fasted, they had prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Now, can I say to you, they could have sent them out and they could have just gone on the outskirts of town, caught a cab and gone anywhere they wanted to and forgot the call. But look at verse 4. So they, Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. So you know what they did? Man, alive, God called us to the mission field. The church is for me. The Holy Ghost is for me. God's promise to me, the promises of God, if I go, you know what they did? Departed. Bye-bye, Antioch. Bye, friends. Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad. Bye, Grandma, Grandpa. Everybody's at the airport, and you know what you're doing? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I might see y'all in 4 years, or I might not. Now, folks, many of you may not realize it, but you know there are people that are still being martyred for their faith today, and you never hear a word about it. People are dying by the tens of thousands. Never hear a word about it. You see, one of the ways that you evaluate a healthy spiritual church is by the number of people accepting God's call to service. That's a measuring stick. Now, I'm just saying to you, church, you know what? I think there's more being called than answering. You see, I get phone calls at my house all the time, but I don't answer all of them. Because we got caller ID now, see? Huh? And we can answer whatever phone calls we want to. And if we don't want to answer some, we don't have to. You see, the thing about it is we've been in church so long, we know when God's calling. So you know what? We just don't answer. So what we're going to do is we're going to allow 72 countries to continue to have no missionaries. We're going to continue to have 67% of the world's population just wipe them off into hell. While we sit in our nice little comfy air-conditioned pews, we come to church, we go home. We come back on Sunday night, we might say an amen or two, and we go home. We come on Wednesday night, we amen, we sing, we go home. Now listen, I'm not against that. But at some point, somebody's going to stand up and say, I'm going. You say, does it say in the Bible, Brother Todd, how old you have to be? Can't find it anywhere. Can't find it anywhere. Oh, but you, Brother Todd, I'm 40 years old. Wow. Listen, let me give you this real quick. Why are people not answering God's call? Three things. Fear, number one. Fear paralyzes people. They're absolutely afraid. And what happens is they come and they hear horror stories about what happened to someone else on another mission field. But folks, may I say to you, when we became a Christian, we all took a risk. Right? By stepping out by faith and accepting Christ, you know what? I stepped out by faith knowing that the most of the world can't stand Jesus Christ. And by the way, what's so bad about going to heaven anyway? Fear number one. Number two, family. Might be in-laws, maybe unwilling spouse or unwilling children or unwilling people, family members may keep people from going out into the mission field. And number three, finances. Fear, family, finances are usually the three causes that cause people not to answer God's call. Do you know 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3 talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end time there? Let me read you something here if I could, and I'm just going to make an application of this particular verse to what I'm talking about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, the scripture says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now I understand the context that that's written in, but can I just take that and make an application and just simply say that, you know what? If we don't get on the stick and start reaching a lost and dying world, that verse right there might apply to us individually and us as a church if we're not careful. A falling away from the concern, from the compassion, from the desire of a lost and dying world. I'm just going to ask you, who's going to accept the challenge then? Somebody here is going to have to stand up and accept the challenge to reach the world. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Todd, no, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been born again. No question about it. Slip your hand way up high.